Welcome to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Don't change that dial. Don't change that tune, because we're live and in church, coming right here at you. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the SportsMap Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson, at Mr. Cole Thompson, if you want to find me on Twitter. Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in. What an awesome show we have today. Let's just talk about it. Let's just get this out of the way. We have so much to break down. College football playoff rankings, the final one before the actual four are released. What did we notice? What did we not see? What is Notre Dame looking for in its next head coach? What is OU looking for in its next head coach? Who is the best team in the NFL, really the AFC? What do we make of the Los Angeles Rams struggles? And of course, buy or sell head coaching addition. That's right. We're going to go ahead and buy or sell the top names in the head coaching circle for the college football playoff ranks this offseason. But I start the show off today with this. What to make of the Phoenix Suns? What to make of the Phoenix Suns? I know that we have all been talking about nonstop the Golden State Warriors rebounding. Do you want to know why we've been doing that? Because of why wouldn't we? They're a team that we saw in the last 2 years kind of take the path unbeaten. Go ahead and struggle for a year. Allow KD to walk in free agency. Allow him to go out to Brooklyn. Go ahead and land yourself a superstar in the up-and-comings with Jonathan Wiseman. Get healthy with guys like Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green, and then come back. But the Phoenix Suns last year were on a tear. They looked like they'd be the most complete team in the NBA. And everyone said the entire offseason, let's think about it. They're going to be able to rebound 17 straight wins. 17 straight wins in a row. Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton absolutely killing it. 24 points. You have 17 points for Mikal Bridges. Chris Paul out of 15 in a 104-96 victory over the top team in the Golden State Warriors. Devin Booker, who's been out, didn't matter. He had 10 points and 2 rebounds. Monty Williams absolutely crushing it as a head coach. Team is averaging more than 105 points per game. They're having the fewest turnovers in the NBA. Oh, and by the way, they're finding ways to win, not just outright. They're also finding ways to win in close situations. How do you not like the Phoenix Suns, guys? They're incredible.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
We waste no time going through the list, getting ourselves prepared for conference championship weekend, as we now know what is the final installment of the college football playoff rankings going into the actual weekend that truly does matter. My three big takeaways from Tuesday night, and of course, the one thing I'm looking forward to this weekend. Here we go. Number one, Georgia's locked in. Georgia is 100% locked in. Georgia could get curb stomped. They could sit all of their starters. Brock Bowers could miss time. You could go ahead and play JT Daniels or Stetson Bennett. You can go ahead and sit most of your offensive line. George Pickens could miss the entire game like he's missed the entire season. You could sit N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis. I forget their edge rusher's name off the top of my head. Tyke Smith. All these players defensively for Dan Lanning's squad. Of the number one defense in college football this year, you could sit all of them. And Alabama could come in and curb stomp you in basically your own backyard of Mercedes-Benz Stadium of Atlanta, Georgia. You could do all of that. Guess what happens? They will still be in the college football playoff. I don't even believe that if they lose to Alabama, they would drop to number four. You could have a conference champion team finishes number four. And I mean an actual Power Five. Because remember, Oklahoma State is still in the running. You still could have Michigan in the running. You still could have a two-loss team somewhere in the running. All those things could absolutely happen. I do not believe for 1 second Georgia falls past number three, even if they lose. The way that they played all season, the way that they looked, every single play, every single game, They never struggled. They never had a game to where it felt like they were in trouble. Their biggest game of the year was against Clemson. And by the way, can we talk about Clemson for a quick second? I know a lot of people are going to sit here and go, well, Clemson was overrated the entire time. Well, you replaced Trevor Lawrence, a generational talent at the most important position in college football, and DJ Uiagalelei is unable to meet the exact standards that you set for yourself in South Carolina. But you rattle off a 5-game winning streak to close out the year. You beat Syracuse, you beat Boston College, Georgia Tech, and South Carolina State. Your 3 losses come to 2 ranked opponents, one of which is the best team in college football, and an NC State team that still is a good team. They're not a great team, but they're a good team. And this is a down year for you. I would take 9-3 every single chance I get with a bad roster offensively, which is exactly what Clemson is this year. But Georgia, that was their closest game. And it's not even close. They had a good, close first quarter against Kentucky. They had a good, close first quarter against Tennessee. That's it. That's all it is. Offensively, they've been one of the more dynamic teams in college football. Without a superstar at wide receiver and with injuries galore across the entire receiving core. At wide receiver, tight end, running backs. They're a good team in that aspect. Defensively, Dan Lanning is getting no love once again to become a head coach when he absolutely should. And you want to know why? It's the best defense in college football. It honestly could be one of the best defenses we've ever seen in the likes of college football. Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Tyke Smith, Darion Kendrick coming from the transfer portal, setting themselves up. Georgia fans, I know that. Listen to me. I know that you have heard this before. This is our year. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy to think. Believe it. This is a different year. This is not a year where you actually see Georgia be Georgia. They're going to make the college football playoff. That's my takeaway. 100%. They could get curb stomped by Alabama. Stetson Bennett could throw 5 interceptions, 3 of which are for pick sixes. JT Daniels comes in, and they still lose by 15. Georgia will be the number 3 seed at worst in the college football playoff. And all that basically means is that they'll probably play Michigan, or maybe Michigan gets the number 1 seed. They'll play Cincinnati. They'll find a way. They will find a way. But you're not seeing Alabama and Georgia play against each other one more time. And Georgia's not missing the postseason whatsoever. They're not missing the postseason. Number 2, and this is probably a bigger one, Oklahoma State has a legitimate shot to make the college football playoff. They do. They need one thing to happen. One thing. I don't care which is the one thing. I do not care which is the one. Alabama loses to Georgia. Michigan loses to Iowa. Cincinnati gets upset by Houston. One of those 3 things happen. And Oklahoma State, who, by the way, will be playing early. They'll be the early kick, noon kickoff. They win, they're in. They win, and one of the other things happens, they're in. And I know they're kind of a boring team. I know they're kind of a blah team. They rely on defensive performance from Jim Knowles' squad and a good run game. That's what they rely on to be successful in the likes of college football. And it works. At the end of the day, we talk about these boring blah teams being good. You want to know why? Coaching, recruiting, playing hot at the right time. Oklahoma State did all of that this entire season. They had some struggles at the very beginning of the year. They went down the wire with a team like Boise State, who, again, Boise State is Boise State. They struggled really early on against Montana State. But then games against TCU, games against Kansas, games against Texas, Oklahoma. They were the better team in every single contest. Even with Spencer Sanders really having a down year. Even with Spencer Sanders not living up to par, living up to the standard of what he sets for himself at a quarterback who's been the starting quarterback for years in Stillwater. That's a big key. That is the big, big key. He's been the starting quarterback for a while. Doesn't matter. Offense doesn't step up. Cool. Defense will do its job. The defense has done its job. And Jim Knowles' defense is not just a top 5 defense in the Big 12 or a top 5 defense in the Southern region. They're a top 5 defense in all of college football. And the term about Big 12 football is you don't play defense. Defense is the reason that they're probably going to be in the ranks for the college football playoffs this year. defense is the reason why they're probably going to actually have a standard of making it deep and having a legitimate shot to win the national championship. It's defense that's going to separate them from everyone else in the conversation. Not an offense. Michigan loses. Alabama loses. Cincinnati loses. One of these two teams, one of these three teams lose. Just one. And Oklahoma State beats Baylor, they're in. And what a resounding resurgence we talk about with Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy, kind of just the guy who's been in the Big 12 forever. You know, I'm just here. I'm a man. I'm 55. Well, now he's about one game away and one bad trip up from one of the top four teams. From being a top four team in 2021. In a year that nobody, and I mean nobody, believed in him for a second. No one believed in Oklahoma State. It was Texas. It was Oklahoma. It was Iowa State with Matt Campbell. No, it's Oklahoma State. It's Oklahoma State that's going to be in the running. And number three, Notre Dame is going to get screwed. But I will say this. Notre Dame is going to get screwed because of Brian Kelly left for LSU. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment, so I don't want to go too deep into it. But in my opinion, that's not the reason Notre Dame gets screwed this year. Notre Dame gets screwed because they're not in a conference. And Gary Barta said that they look at all things when trying to figure out who are the top six teams. And coaching availability matters. You want to know what else matters? A conference championship. If Marcus Freeman or Tommy Reese is named the interim head coach, and they find a way to get to the CFP, which means a lot of madness has to happen. It's not as simple as, oh, Cincinnati loses and Alabama lose. Well, you know, they're out, so that means you're in. I don't think so. I honestly could see a conversation to where Cincinnati still stays in over a Notre Dame team because of the head-to-head, and they have their head coach. If you're not playing in a conference championship game this weekend, it becomes even tougher without Brian Kelly. It does. And I've said this for a minute. Michael's heard me say this. You've heard me say this. Notre Dame this year will finally realize what it means about playing in a conference championship. They'll finally realize why it's important to play in that game. Because of, even though we've never seen something along this line ever happen, it's unprecedented to watch somebody leave in the middle of a college football playoff hunt to go to another school. It's completely out of the blue. You never heard of it. And that's why we all sit here and we're wondering, what does Notre Dame do next? Well, win your conference championship, it doesn't matter what you do next. Winning, you're in. Same thing that I look at with Michigan. Same thing I look at with Alabama. Same thing I look at with Cincinnati. We hold them to the standard. They must win their conference championship game to get in. You think for one second that Iowa is not going to give Michigan fits? Defensively, they're going to be able to shut that offense down. What's going to matter is, can their offense come alive late to where they get enough points to cause the upset? You think that Houston, one of the hottest teams that nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to talk about Houston, is not going to give struggles to Cincinnati? But you want to know what? They win those games. Michigan wins that game. Cincinnati wins their game. Tell me why they don't belong in the college football playoff. Tell me why that they don't belong and Notre Dame does. But if Notre Dame was to play this weekend a Pitt team or a Wake Forest team, and even without their head coach and Marcus Freeman or Tommy Reese is the guy that's leading the team, they're going to be in the college football playoff. If madness occurs at the top, they're going to be in the college football playoff. And the other thing that I really would take away, they probably are already in the CFP rankings if they're in the if they're in a conference. They're probably already in the CFP, number four, number three. Heck, they could be number two for all I know if they're in a conference, because it's Notre Dame. It's a brand recognition name, and they're 11-1. But because Brian Kelly is no longer the head coach, and because they don't play in a conference, they're going to get screwed. And it does go hand in hand. It's not just, oh, Brian Kelly out, that means Notre Dame out. No, it's Brian Kelly out, nothing to play for on Saturday. They're out. This is why when I look at Jack Swarbrick, he's got to make sure that the next move he makes besides hiring the absolute slam dunk next head coach, get them in a conference. They're going to get screwed out of the CFP this year because they're not in the conference. one quick thing that I'm going to be looking for this weekend, who's going to be the upset? Who is going to be the upset? There's going to be one, and I mean all five conferences, and the sixth one. Is Houston going to be able to get the best of Cincinnati at Nippert Stadium? Can Baylor and that rushing attack and solid defensive play slow down Spencer Sanders enough to win the Big 12 in year two under Dave Aranda? Can Bill O'Brien's offense finally come together at the right moment with John Metchie and Jameson Williams and no run game and a very average offensive line with Bryce Young leading the pack to upset, in my opinion, the best team in college football by a mile? Can Oregon, as the number 10 team, find a way to get payback on Kyle Whittingham and Utah? Can Wake Forest and that offense go toe-to-toe with Kenny Pickett? What's going to happen? Because that's what's on the line. That is 100% what is on the line for these programs. One team is getting upset this weekend. Which is going to be that team? Speaking of upset, so many people are mad at Brian Kelly for leaving for LSU, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. He made the right call. Why? We'll talk about that next on the other side of the break, right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Need gift ideas? O'Reilly Auto Parts Holiday Gift Guide has something for everyone on your list at prices under $15. Like a pair of Mechano-Wax black-coated winter gloves, a two-power magnetic tool holder bar, a slime digital tire gauge, and much, much more. Check out the holiday gift guide for all great gift ideas for your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, or you can visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices, every day. So, people are mad that Brian Kelly left his school. People are mad that Brian Kelly said goodbye in the middle of the night after a dozen years at Notre Dame, saying that he does not deserve to be the next head coach at LSU. And more so, people are saying that he's not a great fit. He's not a good name. He's not a great design. He has his issues. He's not exactly what you're looking for as a top-tier program. I politely disagree. Do I think that Brian Kelly leaving without telling his players truly goodbye, having a moment to sit down with the guys and figure out what they really need to know? Yes, I find that really crappy of him. I do. But at the same time, let me ask you this. Does loyalty matter in sports? Does it? We talk about holding people to a certain standard about being at the top level. Why don't we hold LeBron James at that same level? You know, LeBron James, Cleveland kid, goes and leaves in the middle of the night, makes a big statement. Millions of people tune in. Don't think I forgot about that. Don't think I forgot about that for 1 second. Don't think Michael forgot about that. Don't think you forgot about that. Trillions of people turn in for the decision. The decision, I will be playing in South Beach. Oh, my God, he's leaving Cleveland.
I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
And then comes back to Cleveland. And then I'm going to go to Los Angeles. Oh, boy, no. Justin Verlander, an elite pitcher for years and years and years on the Detroit Tigers, leaves Detroit because they're struggling, goes to the Houston Astros, and wins himself a World Series. But he's not loyal to the fan base, Michael. He's not loyal. Look at players in the NFL. Tom Brady, 20 years in New England, says, I'm done. But I'm not done playing football. I'm just done with you. Goes to Tampa Bay, and in his first year, wins the Super Bowl. Michael, guys, he's not loyal. He's not loyal to his team. Stop it.
You know that Brian Kelly has brought Notre Dame to the highest level of football it's been since probably the Lou Holtz days or the Ara Parseghian days. You do realize that Brian Kelly has an opportunity to take his team, even though he will not be there, to the college football playoff as an independent for the third time in 4 years. You do realize that Brian Kelly, at his stipulations, at the standard that is held at Notre Dame football, athletically and academically, has led his team to a top five recruiting class in the last 2 years and a top 10 recruiting class in the last 4 years. And you mean to tell me that Brian Kelly, at this point in his career, at age 60, realizing that if he signs another extension with Notre Dame, he's done. He can pack it in. This will be where he is forever. He wants a challenge. He wants something to go ahead and fight for. And he's earned that right. He's absolutely earned that right at this point in his career. For years, people have said, what can Brian Kelly do if he wasn't coaching at Notre Dame? Well, we're about to find out. Isn't that what you wanted? Isn't that what you asked for? And then his legacy being tarnished at Notre Dame because of the way he left. Guys, he is the all-time leader in wins. Do you know how hard it is to win at Notre Dame with guys like Lou Holtz, Ara Parseghian, Nuke Rockne on that list, and he beat all of them in 12 years? You find that for 1 second, tell me that he's not deserving of having an opportunity or wanting to go somewhere else. It's time. He's been around. He has seen and heard and watched his team be successful. Notre Dame is at the best location it's ever been. Notre Dame is at the highest level of a standard it's ever been. And in the college football playoff era, where you have NIL deals coming in, and you look at what teams are doing in the Southeastern Conference, and you look at what Clemson's able to bring to the table, and teams like Oregon with the uniform deals, and you look at teams even in the Big Ten like Ohio State and Michigan, and Notre Dame consistently is recruiting alongside the likes of them, alongside their names, and fighting for a college football playoff spot with these top-tier programs. Do you want to know why they are? Because Brian Kelly brought them there. And Scott Woodward wanted to make a grand slam hire, and he hit it out of the park. You want to tell me for 1 second that Brian Kelly, because if he is an a-hole, you want to know what? Everybody in college football who is a major head coach is an a-hole. Everybody. You have to be. You have to be able to make it in this industry. And everyone has an asking price. Oh, well, fairy godmother better be offering me the right price. Guys, I'll tell you right now, I am doing what I love for a living. My ultimate goal when I was 17 years old, sitting inside of a locker room, realizing that probably in the next year or so, I would no longer be playing football, was to eventually have my own national radio show. Guess what I'm doing? I'm on coast to coast. That's why I say it every single morning, coast to coast. But if another company offered me, there's an asking price. That's just the reality of the business. And that's no offense to anyone here at SportsMap. I love working here. I do. I love every single second of it. But everybody has an asking price. Brian Kelly lived up to his standard, and he did his job. He had an asking price to go to the SEC and have one final challenge before calling it a career. He leaves Notre Dame in its best location it's ever been in. And whoever comes in is going to have a very easy time replacing his production while he goes ahead and takes the challenge of going up against Nick Saban. Now, Jack Swarbrick, he had this to say about hiring the next head coach after 12 years.
12 years ago this week, I was involved in a search for a new coach at the University of Notre Dame to lead its football program. And 12 years later, I find myself in that role again. The circumstances could not be more different. Then I was in the process of trying to find someone to fix a very broken program. And in a circumstance where, frankly, a lot of people didn't think this was a place they wanted to be because they didn't think Notre Dame was committed or able to produce championship football teams. I couldn't be more pleased with the difference I see today as I embark on another search.
Yeah, Jack Swarbrick's going to be going on a tough search ahead, but you want to know what? It's very easy to sell Notre Dame. And you want to know why it's easy to sell Notre Dame? Because it's a blue blood staple program. When you look at what LSU is, Brian Kelly is going into a complete rebuild. He is trying to start fresh for a team that expects conference championships in year one under his regime. He leaves Notre Dame in good hands for whoever takes over, and he hits a new challenge. And you want to know what? At this point in his career, he's earned it. Better yet, he's deserved it.
Let's go!
Just Saying It continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Time to find out what Cole's buying.
You bought it.
That's right, I bought it.
And selling.
Sell.
In the world of sports.
Well, what are we waiting for?
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson with Buy or Sell.
We often talk about blue bloods in the likes of college football. And with the hirings of now Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame but going to LSU and Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to go to USC, these are two of the biggest names that we have seen come to major programs that we consider quote-unquote blue bloods for a hot minute. But we haven't seen these teams actually be competitive. Sure, LSU was able to win a national title game, but was that really coaching? Was that really culture? Or was that just a stellar season that we are never going to see again in the Bayou Swamps? Same thing with Clay Helton. He was able to get your wins, but he never was able to bring into the big-time game. Let's go ahead and break down the established, quote-unquote, 12 blue bloods and a wild card that I would throw in. Are they still a blue blood for today on Buy or Sell? Here we go.
Alabama.
Bye. I mean, they ain't the last time Nick Saban had under 10 wins in a regular season. That's over 80% wins every single year. And there's been times where he's been undefeated. They finished in the top five in recruiting every single year. They find a way to produce NFL talent left and right. The coach is still staying there after 14 years. Or what is it now? 2007, so 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, we're on 15 years of him inside of one city. This is home for him. And he still is coaching at an elite level. He has not dropped off one second. Loses a coordinator, finds the next future superstar head coach. Loses an assistant head coach. You want to know what they end up becoming? A legitimate powerhouse in a Group of Five school. That is what Nick Saban does. And you don't believe me? Look at a guy like Charles Huff. He was a running backs coach who was on the way to becoming a superstar at Marshall. And the main reason, because of his recruiting skills. People were talking about him potentially getting the Duke job because of how elite of a recruiter he is. Yes, Alabama is easily a blue blood institution, and it's not even close. They probably are the staple of what you want to be a blue blood.
Michigan.
I'm going to buy Michigan, and I'll tell you why. Jim Harbaugh, even though he has not been able to get to the big game, the college football playoff standings, they finish in the top 10 in recruiting every single year. They find ways to win, I would say, about 75% of their games every single season. And Harbaugh picked up this past year his fourth 10-win season. When you look at 10 wins, it's very hard to do. And it's very hard to keep consistent at 10 wins. You'll see a team like Pittsburgh this year, Wake Forest this year, Baylor this year get 10 wins. Last year, you watched Texas A&M get 9 wins, but they would have gotten 10 if they would have had an extra game. I think they would have beaten Ole Miss. So they would have finished 10-1 on the year. It's hard to keep that stability, and Harbaugh continues to do that. NFL players are constantly coming out of the University of Michigan, and they finally have beaten Ohio State. It took them for the first time since 2011 and only the third time in this century to do it, but they were able to beat Ohio State. You add all those things in, Michigan is a blue blood. They're a very low-score blue blood, but I do think that they are a blue blood.
USC.
I'll hold. I will hold on this. Right now, no, they are not a blue blood institution. Clay Helton was a good coach, but he was always too big for his britches and way in over his head, trudging water the entire time. You look at right now how recruits are saying, I don't want to play in California. I want to go to the SEC. I want to go play for Georgia. I want to go play for Florida. Look at just the top tier quarterbacks inside of college football today. I would argue that right now, and Michael probably can attest to this, and you can probably attest to this, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud are the best two quarterbacks in college football this year. Both of them are in California, and both of them wanted to leave that state. But you add in Lincoln Riley, you add in a guy who is established, you add in a guy who had immense success at another top tier institution, and fits probably more that West Coast style than the SEC style. So he brings that same intensity, that same drive that you saw in Norman, Oklahoma, to a city that is going to be able to produce with NIL at an elite level, get players to come in right away, In my opinion, USC is not a rebuild. It's a retool. They very well could be a 10-win team next year, an 11-win team next year, and if they get the right players in this upcoming season, they could easily make it to the college football playoff without question. So I hold on them because I want to see how fast Lincoln Riley can turn this ship around and bring the institutional level of USC football back into blue blood culture. If he can do it next year, yeah, I'll buy it there, blue blood. But right now I hold. I hold because they haven't really been one since 2005 when Vince Young walked into the end zone and crushed every single Trojan dream.
Oklahoma.
I buy, 100%. You want to know why? Because if it didn't matter if it was big game Bob or Lincoln Riley. They produced 10-win seasons. They made the college football playoff on three different occasions. But they haven't won it three times in a row. I don't care. Do you know how hard it is to make the CFP? Four teams go every single year. Oklahoma's been one of them on three different occasions. And they still are top 10 in recruiting. They're an institution that you don't really see much turnaround at the head coaching position. And they still produce NFL talent at an elite level. I mean, look at just the way that Lincoln Riley and the program were able to bring in quarterbacks that won Heismans. Baker Mayfield, Texas Tech, won a Heisman. Kyler Murray, Texas A&M, won a Heisman. Jalen Hurts, Alabama as a backup, comes in and goes to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. All three are playing right now in the NFL. All three are starters in the NFL. And then you have guys like CeeDee Lamb crushing it in the NFL. And Kenneth Murray crushing it in the NFL. And Joe Mixon crushing it in the NFL. They produce elite-level talent at the highest standard every single season. They are a blue blood. And whoever they bring in as their next head coach is going to keep that same institution. Do I think that they will still be at an elite level when they move to the SEC? That will be determined, I think, within 5 years. But as of right now, yes, blue blood.
Texas.
No, sell, 100%. Until you start winning 10 games every single year, until you start producing top 10 recruiting classes that continuously get you to that level, you are not a blue blood institution. And even though you do have so much money, even though you do have so much power and boosters willing to buy and build the program up, you add in hundreds of millions of dollars into the facilities, it doesn't matter if you're not producing. It doesn't matter. You haven't had a 10-win regular season in over a decade. You have not been able to find the right head coach, even though you've gone after guys like Charlie Strong, who was the hottest name when he was at Louisville, after Tom Herman, the hottest name when he was at Houston, Steve Sarkisian, who I do believe can at least get this program stable. I don't know if they could ever be back to blue blood culture, but stable, you put them in that category. Hottest name coming out of Alabama as the offense coordinator. And you're still not at that same level? No, you are not a blue blood institution. At least not right now.
Notre Dame.
Oh. Yes, bye. Do you know how hard it is to recruit at Notre Dame? Michael, what was your GPA in college? I mean, in high school.
High school?
High school.
Oh, man, I don't even want to talk about high school.
Was it over a 3.5?
No.
Okay, you're not going to Notre Dame. You're not going. You want to know what mine was? 3.49. I still was told, bye-bye. How about you this? How about you go to the sister school for a few years and do what Rudy Rutiger did? Go do that, and then maybe we'll consider you. And Brian Kelly and whoever takes over as the next head coach has to live up to those standards, those practices. And they still are a top 5 team in recruiting or a top 10 team in recruiting. They bring in NFL talent galore every single season. They're one of the most premier programs when it comes to building offensive linemen. They find ways to finish with 10-plus wins every single year. And all these teams talk about, oh, USC is a blue blood institution. Oh, Oklahoma is the standard of what blue blood is. Notre Dame has an opportunity to go to the college football playoff 3 out of the last 4 years. You tell me that they're not a blue blood institution with all the standards and practices and the entire religious background that comes with going to Notre Dame. Yeah, you tell me for 1 second that they're not a blue blood institution with 10 win seasons consistently under the name of Brian Kelly. Yeah, they're 100% a blue blood.
Nebraska.
No, God, can we stop with Nebraska? Listen, Nebraska, as much as I do think that keeping Scott Frost maybe was the right move for now, they haven't been good well before him. They haven't had a 10-win season, I think, since 2011 when they were in the Big 12. I mean, like, think about that for a second. It's been over a decade, and we're talking about Nebraska still being in this conversation. Yes, they have a loyal fan base. Yes, they have the tradition underneath Tom Osborne. Yes, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like going to a game at and watch the Cornhuskers play in their own backyard. But you're not recruiting at the same level as some of the other Big Ten schools. You're not living up to the standard of what other programs like Ohio State and Michigan, and I would even throw in Notre Dame in that conversation, that are in the area. Heck, Iowa is out recruiting you. Heck, Wisconsin is out recruiting you. At this point, I would consider Wisconsin more of a blue blood than Nebraska. I'm done with this conversation.
Ohio State.
Yes, blue blood. Absolutely. And again, why? You look at the way they played. They have multiple Heisman Trophy winners. They've produced multiple NFL talents. They're right in the conversation to be DBU once again with the likes of Florida, with the likes of Alabama, with the likes of LSU, with the likes of Florida State. They're right there in that same conversation. They have over 37 Big Ten titles. Yes, they are a blue blood institution. They were able to take Ryan Day, a no-name coach, and without question, go from Urban Meyer to this guy and be a superstar talent. Yeah, they're a blue blood institution. Not even close question.
Georgia.
Oh, I would say so. And again, people are saying, oh, well, is Georgia really a blue blood? I'd consider them a blue blood. I mean, they're one of the best institutions when it comes to producing NFL running backs. They're one of the best institutions when it comes to creating defense. And they have been a 9-plus win team almost since the days of Mark Richt. Like, every single year, 9, 10, 11 wins every single season. It wasn't even close. They haven't had, you know, I get it. They haven't had a Heisman Trophy winner since 1982, but they produce NFL-level talent on the offensive and defensive side of the football. They're one of the best institutions when it comes to recruiting, and they're consistently finding ways to be successful alongside Alabama, LSU, Florida, who have won things in the past well more than you've ever seen from Georgia. Georgia still, in my opinion, is a blue blood. And if they're not a blue blood, they're right on the edge of being a blue blood for sure.
Penn State.
That's a tough one. I'll put them in the sell category right now because, if you know, you look at them, yeah, they still rank inside the top 10 in win percentage, but they aren't really at that same level. And I get it. Joe Pa has been, you know, gone, and then Bill O'Brien was able to kind of keep that that program established. But what have they really done? Like honestly, what have they really done in the last 15 years? They've had some good seasons underneath the likes of James Franklin, but they never really had an elite season. They've had one year where they've deserved to be in the college football playoff year conversation. And the last 2 years have been down years, yet somehow James Franklin gets a contract extension. And now that he just lost his go-to guy in Brent Pry, who's going to Virginia Tech as the next head coach, I'm not sure that you can put them in that category. I actually sell that Penn State is a blue blood. I think they're a good program, but I don't think they're a blue blood.
LSU.
Ooh. I'm going to say bye, but I am very... Like, they are the last team. Like, of the blue blood institutions, they are the last team. And the reason why is because they just won a national championship, and they just had a Heisman Trophy winner. That's the only reason. Yes, they produced NFL talent left and right, but Les Miles was not a great coach. He was a good coach. I have no idea how Ed Orgeron was able to get the job at LSU with you know, his background and whatnot. And he really won because of great coaching from Dave Aranda, great coaching from Joe Brady, and then having a quarterback like Joe Burrow. That 2019 team may be the greatest college football team we've ever seen. But again, it's all about keeping the consistent level. You've watched LSU go from being a 10-win team to a 5-win team to a 4, you know, to a 6-win team to an 8-win team to a 10-win team to a 4-win team. You've watched it happen. I just can't put them in that category. So I put them right at the edge. They are the last team in the blue blood.
Florida.
I would say sell right now. They're just a team that, you know, they're good. They're 10 wins, but they have not been at that same level of recruiting, that same level of high institution since the days of Urban Meyer. You know, Jim McElwain was an okay hire. Dan Mullen was a good coach, not a great recruiter. Will Muschamp never really worked out. Sell. I have to sell. Even though they are a good team in recruiting and they do get 10 wins every year.
And Florida State.
Now, sell. They haven't really been in that way since the days of Bobby Bowden. Jimbo Fisher was able to keep the team afloat really early, but a lot of those players were going to play there because if Bobby was there, he was a great recruiter. And the second that he left to go to Texas A&M, everything went downhill. Mike Norvell has not been able to turn the program around. Willie Taggart has not been able to turn the program around. I would actually love to see them fire Norvell and bring in Matt Campbell, pay him whatever he wants to bring the institution back. But until that happens and until they get 10 wins, they're not a blue blood. They have it. Buy or sell my blue blood institutions in the ranks of college football today, right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
I have had it with the conversation of what's the difference between men and women's sports. If you are the better team, you are the fun one to watch. And even though the United States men's soccer team is turning it around after they got the monumental win last month, U.S. women's soccer team has been absolutely hands down one of the best in the world for over a decade, and they just proved it once again, even without superstars like Carly Lloyd on the roster anymore. The record was set back in, I'm trying to remember, how many years ago was it? October, I think it was. 10-0 win for England over Latvia. That was the most goals ever scored by a women's championship team. The United States just absolutely set a record. I mean, they absolutely set a record. My bad, England just set a record. My bad, England just set a record when it came to it. 20-0 thrashing over Latvia on Tuesday, improving to 6-0 in group play with a goal differential of 0.53. 0.53, do you know what the average goal differential is? It's like 0.3 is like the average goal differential. They, I don't even know how to say this number. They times 40'd it, beating the crap out of it. 10 players scored, four of whom had hat tricks. Four had hat tricks. A hat trick is so anomalously weird in soccer, and four had it. Give your hats off to them, England.